You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I'm going to give you the title of a message, which I seldom give a title to message, and usually because I can't think of one. But I'll seldom do that. But tonight I'm going to give you the title of a message, and you're not going to forget the message, not because it's a great message. It's a simple message, and it's so simple that I don't think you'll forget it. And I think you'll remember my message, and you'll remember the points of the message. Actually, this message, God really gave me this message about 25, 30 years ago in the other building, and you had just preached, Pastor just preached the message, and my heart was blessed, and this thought came to my mind at the end of the service. You'd done the invitation, you were closing it, and in your closing prayer, God put this thought in my mind, and I haven't been able to get away from it, and it's something that's been practical and helpful to me, and I just want to share it with you tonight. Here he says in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The title of my message this evening is Start to Finish. Start to Finish. Now, I want to make sure you remember that. Simple. But say it with me. The title of my message is what? Start to Finish. Start to Finish. Point number one. You don't have to write it down. I think you'll remember it. Point number one. Start to Finish. Are you with me so far? All right. The title of my message is what? Start to Finish. Point number one. Start to Finish. You have to start if you ever expect to finish. You know, there are so many people in their Christian life and in life in general that say, one of these days, one of these days I'm going to do that. You hear a sermon. How many sermons have you heard and said, boy, that's good. Well, that was good. I needed that. I needed that message. That's exactly what I needed. And you know what I'm going to do? As soon as I can, I'm going to start doing that. And how many times, with good intentions, have we started, wanted to start something, but it never happened? Do you know you can't finish something? This is profound. You might want to write this down. You can't finish something if you don't start it.
Right. Exactly right.
I believe there are people all across, Christians all across, and churches across America that have heard for years, you need to start reading your Bible every day. I mean, not just reading it a little bit here and finding a verse and maybe reading a few chapters one day, and then maybe another day you get inspired, you read a few more. But I believe there are people, and perhaps some in this very room tonight, you've heard that, you know it's true, you don't doubt that it's a good thing, but you've never started it. You meant to, and you know you need to, you know it's a good thing, but you've never started it. Why don't you make today the day in your life? See, no one else knows. No one else here knows whether or not you read your Bible. You don't know if I read it every day. Usually you can see it in someone's life, but you could hide that fact. There may be people that are staff members, there may be people that are faithful members for this church for many years, and you read your Bible, but it's not a daily habit. It's not something you do every day. It's not something you do faithfully. It's not something you do as part of your daily routine of your life. Why don't you decide? Somebody here in this room, I don't, maybe a young person, maybe a teenager, maybe an elementary age child. But there's somebody in this room, probably several somebodies, that you've never really done it. And if you'd be embarrassed if anybody knew, you'd be embarrassed if your pastor knew, if somebody else knew that you didn't read your Bible. And you don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to stand up and say, I haven't been doing that. But you know in your heart that you haven't. And you've been getting by, but you really haven't been getting by. Because you're not as successful. You're not as blessed as you could be. For somebody here tonight, maybe several somebodies here tonight, You need to decide tonight, I'm going to start reading my Bible. Maybe you need to start praying. Look, these are the foundations of the Christian life. Oh, yeah, pastor all the time talks about, read your Bible, walk with God. But there may be somebody in this room, I have no idea who it might be, but there may be somebody in this room that you don't have a regular prayer life. That doesn't mean you don't pray. And you'll pray, maybe you'll pray certain times and certain needs, but as far as every day where you have a time where you get alone with God, or you have seasons of prayer, and I'm talking about more than just, you know, having a little, and nothing wrong with having a list, but where you just, you know, read the prayer page and just read it and say, Lord, bless this, 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 and this, and real quickly. Now, obviously, if you got things to pray for, you may not have a lot of time, but I'm talking about a time where you get alone with God and have a relationship, fellowship with Him. You may not think it's that important. You may not see the value of that. But I promise you, it will make a huge difference in your life. Now, you're not going to be perfect because you do that, but if you don't do that, you'll never be what God wants you to be. God longs to be close to you. God longs to be near you and in your life. But you don't start something, you can't finish it. It's amazing. You see around, you go around the world, you see places, and you see people working on, you see a lot in Kentucky, you know, somebody has an old car sitting outside. You go by and say, hey, you want to sell? No, I'm gonna fix that thing up. How long has it been sitting there? 25 years. Yeah. Yeah. They meant to get started, but they never did. They never started it. When I was in high school, I was 16 years old, I worked at Dairy Queen. I think I got paid a whopping $1.75 an hour, but it was all the food you could eat. So I made about $10 an hour. And my metabolism was pretty good. I'd drink a couple milkshakes a night, a couple foot-long chili dogs, and man, I got my money's worth out of it. But I remember one night I was taking the garbage out, and back when I was a kid, I took karate. That was a big thing. Bruce Lee and all that kind of stuff was famous, and I got into karate, and I ended up, by the time I was a teenager, I had a black belt in karate. So I wasn't that great, but I had a reputation, you know. They got a black belt. That's right. Don't mess with me. Not that I was that great, but you know, anyway. So I was coming out the back of Dairy Queen. I was carrying the garbage out, and I saw this big shadow looming. It was at night, and I saw this big hulk of a guy. And I'd seen him before. He was already out of school. He was already out of high school. And, I mean, he was huge. He didn't even have a neck. He was just a big, strong guy. And he made Mike Tyson look anorexic. This guy was... I mean, he was a big, huge guy, and I saw his outline, and he came out of the shadows, and he goes, hey. He said, you're that karate guy, aren't you? I said, well. He said, you're not as tough as you think you are. Well, I didn't think I was tough, but he said, I can whoop you. That's West Kentucky language, but I can whip you. So, in fact, if you're so tough, fight me right now. I remember my dad saying, you know, if you don't think you can fight somebody, bluff them. So I thought, okay, bluff. So I'm holding his garbage can, and I say to him, I don't want to fight you. He goes, no, come on, let's fight me right now. Dad said, bluff. Okay, here it goes. Dad, you better be right. I said, if I have to put this garbage can down, you better mean business. I thought, that was kind of cool. And according to my dad, he was going to say, man, that's all right. You're good. But he said, put it down. The garbage can started doing this a little bit. Dad? Go home. Anybody? I said, well, man, I'd already committed that far, so I decided to double down on stupid. I said, I'm not messing with you. I said, if I put this down, you better be ready to fight, pal. I said it with a little more fierceness. And he's looked at me and said, put it down. Flex his muscles, shirt ripped. I said, I'm not telling you again. If you make, triple down, you double down on stupid. I was tripling down on stupid. I said, if I have to put this down, buddy, you had better be ready for a fight because you're getting one. He said, put it down. Jesus. I was just doing what my daddy said. I'll be with you soon. I turned around. I was committed at that point. I turned around and I went, whoa. And I figured I would, next thing I would see St. Peter and I'd be going like this. He goes, what are you doing? Oh. Wow. I wasn't so bad. And he said, I was just kidding, man. So well, that was a good thing for you. It was a good thing for me. He didn't realize that he could have pulverized me. He could have ripped my lips off, stuck them in my ear, and I wouldn't even know what happened. He said, man, put her there. We shook hands. We became friends after. I never did tell him that I was, you know, I wasn't taking a chance. But he didn't realize that he could have taken me and he could have pulverized me. I was just a skinny little kid and he was Mike Tyson. But he never took that first thing. He never started. Praise the Lord. You know, it's amazing how many people in life with things that matter never start. Maybe because they don't think they can. There's some say, well, I don't think I'd be good at it. Or maybe, you know, maybe they tried a little bit, but they never really, really got started in it. What is it in your life tonight that you're not doing, and you've probably heard it preached, and you've probably been convicted about it, and maybe you said, I need to do that. And every time you hear it preached, it reminds you again, oh, and you feel convicted, and you feel like, oh, I need to change, and I need to get this right. It's time to start. You can't put it off anymore. It's time to start because in order to finish, you have to start. It's time to start spending time in prayer. It's time to start telling others about, I just don't think I could talk to somebody. Start with a tract. Start with handing out a tract. But it's time to start. It's time to start coming to visitation. It's time to start tithing. Oh, Pastor Harold, Brother Harold, well, I'm struggling on 100%. I don't think I can make it going down to 90. Look, you're not making it as well as you think you are on 100. And this is a giving, an amazing giving church. Perhaps the most giving church in America, maybe even the world. But you're not a part of it. And by the way, I have no idea who you might be, but you know. It's time for you to start. Well, I'm almost there. I got to get. You can't wait till you think it's right. You can't wait till you feel like comfortable with it. You can't wait for that. It's time. Some of you just need to step out by faith and say, I'm going to do it. If I go broke, I'm going to do it. If I can't make it any more financial, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what's right. It's time for you to start. There's some kids in this room tonight. Young people, are you listening to me? It's time for you to start obeying your parents.
Talk to us.
The only command in the Bible directed to children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I'm not trying to, this might sound harsh, but kids, listen to me. You're not right with God. I shouldn't say that to kids. You're not right with God if you don't obey your parents. First time. Every time. First time. Parents shouldn't have to be saying, I'm going to count to 10. We counted with our kids. It was zero. I'm telling you one time.
Amen.
First time. Every time. By the way, honor. That doesn't mean go to your room, fix, clean your room. Okay. Honor thy father and thy mother.
That's right.
You're not right with God young person. You're not right with God, teenager, if you don't obey your parents first time, every time, and if you don't treat them with honor and respect. You will never be successful in life if you don't gain that and learn that. I don't know who I'm speaking to about that tonight, but somebody, it's time, young person, for you to start obeying your parents. It's time for you to start honoring your mom and dad. You get to be a teenager, you think you know everything. You don't. Your parents still know more than you, but even if they didn't, they represent God. And when you disobey your parents, you're disobeying God. It's time to start. It's time to start, sir, loving your wife. It's time to start, dear lady, loving your husband. To really, truly, with all your heart, following the Bible. What in your life do you need to do? Do you intend to do? You know you ought to do, but you're not doing. It's time. It's time. Okay, Brother Harold, soon. No, not soon. Now. Start to finish. Title of my message is what? Start to finish. Point number one, start to finish. You got to start in order to finish. You need to start something tonight. Point number two, are you ready? Start to finish. See, that was point number one in the title. I know, but I couldn't think of any other points. Title of my message is what?
Start to finish.
Point number one is?
Start to finish.
You got to start in order to finish. Point number two is?
Start to finish.
What I mean by that is this. When you start to finish. You don't start to quit. You don't start till it gets hard. You don't start, I'm going to try it out. If it's right, you determine ahead of time, you're not quitting until it's done.
Amen.
Too many people want to experiment in things. Too many people get married and say, well, we'll get married, but if it doesn't work out, there should not be a but if it doesn't work out clause. You're not starting to finish. You're starting till where you're gonna see how it goes. You're gonna test it out. I don't believe a Christian will ever be successful in anything until they say, this is right. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not stopping. I'm finishing it no matter what. I want to hear those words I said this morning. Well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know where my finish line is, but I'm looking for the finish. I want to cross that line. I don't want to get almost to the end zone, fall down or spike it before I get in there. I want to finish my race. I don't know when it's going to end. So I just got to keep going. I don't want an out. I don't want a place to quit. I want to keep going in my life, in my service, in my marriage. When my wife and I got married nearly 42 years ago, I didn't say, I will if you will. And I certainly didn't say, I'll try. I said, I do. And from that day to that, I made a commitment for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, sickness and health. I made a vow to her in front of God and everybody else. Has it always been easy? For her, it has. Just seeing if you were listening, honey, if you're watching. Reverse that. Actually, it has been easy for me. Bless her heart. But I'm in it for it all. I don't want to just endure it. I want to be the best husband I can be. Now, she's a wonderful wife. Praise the Lord for her. But if she quit being a wonderful wife, she said, you know what? I've been a wonderful wife long enough. I'm going to be an old hag to you from now on. I'd say, even come quickly, Lord. I look for Charles again, the guy at Dairy Queen. Come on, man. Kill me this time. It's not till it's inconvenient. when we have irreconcilable differences? We'll work it out. What's plan B? There is no plan B. There's only plan A. Till death do us part. I didn't start to try it out. I started to finish. I got a race to run. I've got a church family that's watching me and depending upon me to stay faithful. I've got children that are serving God and raising. I've got 11 grandchildren that are watching Papa and watching to see if I'm going to be faithful. They're not thinking that. They're not thinking their mind. But I realize they're watching me. I have to be right. I have to be true. If I quit, what would that do to them? I shouldn't even think what might happen. That would just be purely selfish on my part. Well, I'm tired, or I'm not happy, or I'm not this. Who cares if you're happy? Who cares how you feel about it? You got to have a goal. If it's right to do, it's right to do, and finish it. Finish that job. Start to finish. Don't start to quit. Don't start to go till it's hard. Start to finish what you started. When I went to Bible college, they said it's going to be hard. Some of you are going to want to quit. And I remember promising God, I said, I'm not quitting. So a lot of people quit. I said, I am going to stay until I have that diploma on my wall as a graduate of this school. The first day of college, the president of the college came to chapel and he said, I want you to go to your rooms after chapel, and I want you to get your dictionary out. And for you young people, that's a book with a bunch of words that are defined. Okay, we couldn't Google it back then, all right? So I want you to go to your room, and I want you to take out your dictionary, and I want you to find two words, and I want you to cut them out of your dictionary. The word quit and the word compromise. It took me all afternoon. I went from the beginning of K to the end of K. I could not find either two of those words. I said, I got a cheap dictionary. Not in here. Finally, somebody said, try the C's. Really? Okay. I found them. They were there. And some people thought, oh, that's just, you know, he's just saying, okay, it's important, you know, figuratively in your mind. I took my scissors. We had scissors back then. Now you can't have them because they're dangerous. We had AR-15s back then. I'm sorry. For Father's Day, we had AR-15 Sunday. Sorry. We gave AR-15 little keychains to all our men. Anyway, I just threw that out there. Sorry, but if somebody was getting offended, I wanted to go ahead and get you fully offended. But I cut those two words out of my dictionary. It wasn't just symbolic for me. It wasn't just because the head of the college said do it. I took that personally. Quit, not doing it. If it's right, I'm not quitting. Say, Brother Harold, have you ever wanted to quit? All the time. You ever felt like quitting? Yep. You ever seriously considered it? Nope. God's in charge of the day I stop. Not me. I didn't start to quit. I started to finish. Decide now. Decide now. Is there something that's right and true and important in your life? Decide now, tonight. Don't leave here tonight. Decide. Somebody here tonight needs to make that decision. You may have thought you had. You may have said it's a good idea. But some of you tonight, before you leave, you need to make a commitment, a promise. I'm not quitting. There's some college students here that are thinking about going home. I don't know who you are. You know who you are. Don't look guilty. Just say amen. But some of you, bless your heart, and you think, I'm just too discouraged. It's just too hard. You quit college now because it's hard or you don't have enough money. Look, there's banks around here to rob. I mean, there are people, there are opportunities. There's people, where's Bill Shelton? Is Bill Shelton here tonight, or is he in the senior citizens home? Oh, there he is. Bill, you just got a birthday coming up. How does it feel to be a centurion? I'm 100, right? But up there somewhere. But he was on the ark with Moses, but he was a hideaway. They didn't know he was there. That's why it wasn't recorded. Moses? No, it was Noah, wasn't it? Anyway, Bill didn't know the difference. Love you, Bill. The guy in my church, his name's Rudy. I joke with him all the time, so he's my Bill Shelton, but anyway. There's somebody here thinking about quitting college, and you think you don't do it. So I don't have any money. Pray. That's a novel idea. Maybe it's time to start praying then. Decide you're going to stay. If God led you there. Now there may be some that you want to go for a year and your pastor, that's good. But finish, at least finish the year. But somebody here tonight is thinking about quitting something. Maybe somebody here tonight thinking about quitting your marriage. It's there's no hope. I can't be happy. You know, there's things more important than happiness. God's will. Righteousness. Holiness. Being right with God. Now, while maybe the difficulties aren't here, maybe there's, say, Brother Harold, I'm not going through anything really tremendous, then decide now. When and if things do get bad, I am not going to quit. Start with a goal to finish. Title of my message tonight is what? Point number one. Start. You got to start before you can finish. Point number two, you start to finish. Anybody want to take a wild guess what point number three is? No. Give your best to Jesus. Give your best to Jesus. Point number three, start to finish. Say, what's left? I don't know. I got to make something up real quick. The Christian life is a race, not against anybody. It's not a sprint where you do it, it's over with quickly. It's a marathon. You start your life for God and you keep plugging away. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you get discouraged. Sometimes it's very encouraging. The finish line is over here somewhere. And we don't know exactly where it is. So we have to decide that we're in it for the long haul. From the start all the way to the finish. Say, look. Years ago, I saw a little kindergarten kid. And usually kindergarten kids are like, I'm in school, yeah, I got my backpack, and all, they're excited. I saw this kindergarten kid in our school, and I said, how's school going? I hate it. I said, son, I got some bad news for you. If you make it through this year, you got 12 more. You may be discouraged where you are right now. That's part of life. Do you think Job was a little discouraged at all? When the first thing happened. I mean, the first thing was the least serious of them all. You know, he's losing some of his possessions. Some of us, we lost a possession. Oh, crap, I'm throwing the towel. He lost his possessions. He lost his kids. He lost his health. And then the one person that's supposed to be his cheerleader and say, go, 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 you can do it, his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Thanks, honey. That wasn't recorded, but And she may have just been being compassionate for him and wanted not to have to endure it, perhaps, but I don't know. But and then his friends came along, and they were friends for a while. They kept their mouth shut. Then they started criticizing him. He had it pretty rough. I mean, if I knew somebody had that rough and they said, well, I'm quitting, I'd try to talk him out of it. But in my mind, I'd think, I don't blame him. But he didn't quit. He never charged God foolishly. He maintained his integrity. And God rewarded him. He doubled what he had. See, when you quit, you throw it all away. You don't lose your salvation, but you start throwing rewards out the window. And that might not seem that big to you now. And thankfully, if you're saved, you're not going to stand at the great white throne judgment, but you will stand at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what? Rewards are going to matter then. We're not going to be there saying, I spent too much time in church. I gave too much money. Oh, no. We're not going to be doing that. We might be saying, I wish I'd listened. I wish I'd started doing what the preacher said. I wish I'd started that. I wish I'd been more faithful. I wish I hadn't quit when I was discouraged. It's going to be a whole different, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be a lot different than it is right now. I promise you that. And you'll be glad that you stayed true. It's a long race. Some of you have been in it for a long time. Pastor, you've been in the race a long time. I tell you, what an inspiration to me and to you and to other preachers. Lesser men would have quit a long time ago. And dear Mrs. Treber, you as well. It's not easy being a pastor's wife of a church like this, any church. And you stayed true to him and you stayed true to God. God bless you for that.
Amen.
You're so fortunate. Mm-hmm. You're so fortunate. And many of you have stayed true because this man and his dear wife have stayed true.
Amen.
Somebody's watching you. Guarantee you. Kids, grandkids, other church members. Now, that's not a good excuse if you mess up and they quit. But I don't want to be explaining that to God, the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want that responsibility on my shoulders. You quit, and other people quit because you quit. I don't care how bad I want to quit, how hard it might be. Some of you are going through struggles, and I'm not making light of that. I'm not making light. Say, Brother Harold, you have no idea. If it was just one thing, it'd be fine. But I got this, and I've got this, and I've got this. All the more reason for you to start to finish. What do you need to start? What is it that you need to start doing tonight? Maybe you need to start being holy. Maybe you need to stop some things, stop some bad things, and start doing right. Start being pure and clean. Start obeying God. Start doing the right thing instead of what you feel like doing. Start living for God instead of living for yourself. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is because God's speaking to your heart about it right now. It's time to start. What is it for you? It may be something seemingly small. It may be something no one else knows about. But you know about it, and God knows about it. It's time. It's time.
Amen.
To start. If you're going to finish faithfully, faithful unto death, it's time to start. Start if you're going to finish. In your life, your goal ought to be to finish for the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever you start, I'm gonna complete it. My marriage, I'm gonna finish it out. I'm gonna work it out. Now look, I realize in every crowd, there are folks that have been divorced. Look, that's the past. You can't undo that. You're not a bad God can still bless you. Wherever you are now,
Amen.
You stay faithful. God, if God couldn't bless you, you'd have no hope. None of us would have any hope. We're all sinners. I'm glad that God's a forgiving God. I'm glad I can get a fresh start. If I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can have a clean slate. But I need to do something with it. What do I need to start tonight? What is it in your life that you need to commit yourself to finish, to get it all, see it all the way through? And then perhaps for you tonight, You need to see the big picture. Not just what's going on right now in your life, but it's a big long race. It's a marathon. From the start, long way. Seems like a long time, but compared to eternity, pretty quick. The finish. Stay in it for the long haul. You will be glad that you did. Let's pray. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to obey you. Help us to see that we have a race to run. We have one opportunity in life, only one life to live, and only what's done for Christ will last. Tonight, I pray that several somebodies tonight will see the need and decide, I'm going to start reading my Bible, start praying, start winning souls, start tithing, start being faithful, start whatever it is, Lord, that you spoke to their hearts about. Maybe others tonight, maybe some of the same, will see in their life, I need a commitment. I can't just try it and hope that if it works out and give it my best and say, oh, well, it didn't work out. Well, Lord, there's folks here tonight, they need to, if it's worth doing, it's worth staying with and committing to it and finishing it. Maybe someone tonight needs to say, I need to start with the goal of finishing. Maybe someone else tonight says, I need to see the big picture. I see trouble and everything's up close and it's frustrating and it's discouraging. But you need to see the big picture, that it's not just what's happening right now. It's over a lifetime, from start all the way to the finish. And I need to focus on making my life count and not get too wrapped up in the moment.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.